a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Amen. Good morning. The next song is going to be Shout to the North. We're going to be doing men on the first verse, men of faith rise up and sing, and then just the women on Rise Up Women of the Truth, and then we'll all sing the chorus. But go ahead and say hi to your neighbor this morning. Welcome each other. Fill this place with songs again of our
Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen. Let's pray. And this next song, let's just sing it as a prayer then. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We give you praise for who you are. We celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us. We ask for an overwhelming presence this morning of your Holy Spirit, God. Would you fill our hearts? Would you rid us of distraction? As we come before you this morning, would you speak to us? Prepare our hearts to be changed by you. Rid us of all temptations of the enemy. Help us to be men and women who fight for the truth, who understand the truth, and who live the truth. We love you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, o'er every thought and step preside.
Your loving kindness.
sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the
Good morning. Welcome. I'm going to read from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit, out of the muddy clay, set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. How happy is anyone who puts his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord my God, you have done many things. Your wondrous works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. We've all probably had an experience, interaction with someone who wasn't happy with something we did. Could be at work with a customer, didn't think they were treated fairly, and they were mad about it. So you talk to them, make things right, and next time they come in, they have nothing but nice things to say about you, your company. And you might say that when they came in that time, they were singing a different tune. That's what verse 3 here is talking about. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Christians can sing a different tune than the world sings. We speak blessing, not condemnation. We build up instead of insulting, tearing down. We don't gossip. We speak the truth in love. The list could go on and on. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. As we go out this week, Let's make sure that people can tell by our words that we're not the people we used to be. Let's make sure that they can hear our new song. Our offering this morning is for the Congregational Operating Fund. Ushers can come forward. And Jake will lead us in a song during the offering. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this church, your body here at Dayton. Thank you for the work that you do here. We pray that we can be faithful in the work that you ask us to do. Pray that this money taken would be used for your honor, and your glory, and your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
From your green hymnals, number 166. Number 166.
It was midnight in the garden when the Savior knelt to pray. In the shadows of Gethsemane, ere the crucifixion day, hear me wrestle in the darkness, still he sweated drops of
message this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can be here and hear your word preached. Pray that you would open our hearts. Pray that they would be soft, willing to hear what you have for us. Be willing to be changed by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Before we get into the message this morning, I would like to talk about three things before that as a way of announcements for things coming up in the future. We are currently working towards having a baptism coming up. And if you have never received baptism and you claim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you to consider becoming baptized. It's a public symbol of a change that has already happened within your life, and I would encourage you to consider that. Secondly, we are also working towards having a group becoming members of the church. And if you are a believer in Christ, if you have been baptized, I ask you to consider becoming a member as God leads you in that way. The third thing that we are, and you can talk to anybody on the leadership team or someone who will talk to us and let us know about any of these things. Thirdly, if you were here for the marriage seminar, you heard in the men's part downstairs, you heard an invitation to take part in a series called the Conquer Series. When I was in high school, I don't remember what grade, probably around a senior in high school, I was researching a paper for a class in high school. And I typed in a very innocent word. And on the screen popped up images that I could never forget. It was the first time I had ever experienced seeing pornography. And that led into a series of years of defeat and guilt and shame in regards to looking at pornography. And I remember thinking and considering that when I get married, these things will pass away and I will no longer have these struggles any longer. And that was not the case. Journey into finding freedom. And I'm here this morning to testify that God can bring you freedom if you're struggling as well. He has in my life for the past years. I've had freedom from that. I praise God and give him all the honor and the glory for that. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of renewing the mind, of setting your mind on the things of God, and accountability. And I invite you as a man, or if you're a woman struggling with pornography this morning, to talk to somebody on the leadership team or their wives. We would like to get a Conquer Series started, and it gives you practical ways and steps of focusing our mind on Jesus and walking into freedom as a church in regards to sexual purity. So I invite you to consider that as well and reach out to us. We have been in Matthew for a season, and we are going to be there for a long time. It may be years that we are in Matthew, because we're going to be taking many breaks throughout. There's going to be many series in the middle of it. But this morning, the purpose of this sermon is to give an introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is three chapters that Jesus taught his disciples as they were up on the mountaintop overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Have you ever wondered and wished that you knew what God desires of you? Like, what is his blueprint for being a Christian and a follower and believer of Jesus Christ? This message, this Sermon on the Mount, paints that picture for us as clearly as anything I believe in Scripture. My children attend Calvary Christian School, and on Friday they had a field day. And I was watching as, I don't even know what it's called, but I guess you do this. It looks like the most humiliating thing to do, I'll be honest. But you take this running start and then you jump as far as you can. And there were some that didn't understand the premise of what you were supposed to do. You know, they were kind of, had to be explained to, no, you have to have your feet behind the line in order for it not to be a scratch. And Lois, she was the rule keeper on this and making sure that those kids had their feet behind the line. But they needed to be an understanding of the expectation. You know, when these kids were running a hurdle meter or whatever, there needed to be an understanding of what was expected, of what the rules were in regards to what the race that they were running. And this message from Matthew chapter 5 through 7 lays out Christ's plan for us as believers in how we act, how we think, how we relate to God. Many people consider this to just be the core tenets of what Christian discipleship looks like. As we prepare ourselves to hear Christ teaching us these words, I actually want to go to the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, so you can turn two pages or so to Matthew chapter 7, the very end of that passage. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, so this is Jesus speaking. This is after he had given a long, some people think it was one long big speech. Some people believe this is a combination of a few speeches that Jesus would have given, sermons. But nonetheless, he gives this declaration to his disciples. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. If anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd was amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus gives an exhortation to you and I, to the listener of these words from the Sermon on the Mount. It's a blessing. Hear me. Listen to my words. But it's also a word of rebuke for those who will hear the word of God and not put them into practice and do as the word says. As I was thinking and considering hearing and not putting into practice, I envisioned myself sitting on the Lazy Boy and Krista talking. And there are times where she'll talk and I will be listening very intently, I think, or at least, but I'm not paying attention very well. And then I realize she's actually asking me to do something. And I realize I have no idea what my expectation is. Like, I was listening, but it wasn't coming into the deep parts. I was just hearing the premise of what was said and gleaning what I desired to hear, but not what she was actually asking of me, which caused me to consider Jesus and his teaching to me. And I had to check myself. Am I often on the Lazy Boy, reading the things of God, in the pew, hearing the things of God, and they just go straight over and don't penetrate to the heart? And I become like the man who built his house in the sand. Both men built a house. I don't know how long the houses stood, but both houses were built. Both probably looked beautiful. But there was only one that was on the bedrock of Jesus Christ. You are called to obey the teachings of Jesus. I, as any young man probably, was watching a YouTube video of an interview with Elon Musk. And somebody asked him if he was a religious person. He said, "Are you a religious person?" And Elon replied like this. He said, "I like the teachings of Christianity. I probably align with them the closest, but I don't necessarily consider myself religious." He said, "It's I like to build my life around and loving thy neighbor, not giving an eye for an eye." He's like, "Those are good principles to live by." That is a man who builds his house on the sand. You glean what you want, but yet you do not submit your life to the teaching of Christ. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. Jesus gives us three chapters here of red letters. His words of who is esteemed, who is held up, who is his follower and exalted in the kingdom of God. Who are we to be? What is our attitude to be? And how are we to live in this world? Going back to the beginning of chapter 5, you know, I believe it's helpful to get a picture as we prepare to hear. I'm warning you guys, like, we're going to spend weeks, probably a month or so, on these Beatitudes. Then we're going to be moving into the rest of the Sermon Mount. So this is going to take a while. So these words are for you for the next months of time. But let's prepare ourselves. Let's get a context of what Jesus and was talking to, and the culture, the religious culture that Jesus was talking into in that day. So if you look back here in chapter 4, Jesus was going all throughout Galilee, teaching and healing those around him. And many people heard the good news of Jesus, and they responded to his teaching. They were being healed, they were following him, and there were such great multitudes following him that at times, he just had to get away. And at this point, he removed himself and went up on a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And my guess is they were kind of sitting around him. I don't know if it was the great multitude that was around him at that point, but there was many people standing and sitting around him. I really nerded out on this next part, and I hope that you can follow along, because I think that it really paints a picture of the religious culture that Jesus was speaking into, and I believe you and I can relate with it very closely as well. We look back a few hundred years to what was going on in the religious culture in that time that Jesus came into. The people of Jesus' time looked back to, the religious leader, looked back to Ezra as their spiritual father and authority of who they had learned from. They followed they pointed back to him as kind of their forefather and authority. And these religious leaders came out of who Ezra had set up to be. Well, who was Ezra? Who is this guy that they're looking back to? Ezra was a man, when the Israelites were in Babylonian the second time, he was the man that brought a people up out of Babylon and back to the city of Jerusalem. Now, you may remember, like, Nehemiah building the wall and all that stuff. Well, Ezra as well came back. And Ezra understood why the people of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. He understood that it was because they did not follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, that they had rebelled, not Jesus Christ, the law of God, and they did not follow his teachings back in the Old Testament. So when he came back to Jerusalem and brought these people, he set up very strong boundaries around them and probably even enforced observance of the Torah, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the law of God. He held it in the highest esteem and established even a teaching school to teach people so they would not forget and that they would be well-versed in understanding these scriptures, these laws of God. And for the first while, these teachers, these students of his, followed the law of God. But it wasn't long, and people's understanding became distorted, because what happened was the religious leaders began to write their own words. They began to write what it meant to follow the law of God. So they took the law of God, and then they wrote a bunch of appendixes of what it actually looked like in life to follow those laws. So just an example is, like, God would say, honor the Lord's day and keep it holy. Well, these people would write lots of laws. You can't do this, you can't do that. So they became all these man-made rules, all these man-made laws, and no understanding of the law of God. And what happened was, these men created, I'm sure it wasn't a book as we know it at this time, but it was called the Mishnah. And what the Mishnah was is the law of man to follow the law of God. Over time, this Mishnah became more important, more exalted, more large. It became bigger and bigger and bigger. The law became bigger and bigger and bigger, and it grew in importance and importance. What you end up with when you have religious leaders doing that is people that have no understanding of the law or heart of God, and simply people that learn to follow the law of man. The religious leaders presented themselves as the experts, as the authority, and the people's role was to follow that law and authority of man. So what you have is a people who are spiritually starving. They're desperate for something different. You and I all know in our own lives, the law of man does not satisfy the desire for Jesus in your life. There's got to be something more. And that is where Jesus came into that culture, where the people were starving for something more. They were looking for the Messiah, somebody to bring them out. But yet a group of religious leaders who were concerned merely about their own power, about their own authority, and desired to keep them under the law of them, under their own law, instead of under the law of God. And so as we go throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we often see Jesus paralleling what it meant in that time to follow the law of God, and what Jesus was saying the law meant was to come, and the new law was established in the blood of Jesus Christ was to come. So here we are at the Beatitudes. And I think that this is probably the greatest example of the parallel between the religious leaders and the people. The Beatitudes, chapter 5, verse 1. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and first falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus sets up a completely upside down kingdom. These people thought that they were simply to obey the law. Jesus is coming to say, exalted are those who are poor in spirit. Exalted are those who mourn. Completely upside down of what we often believe today, and clearly what they believed at that time. Each of these Beatitudes contains a pronouncement of invitation for those who believe themselves to be unworthy of the kingdom of God. But it also contains a pronouncement of condemnation for those who think themselves to be worthy but are not. Do you believe yourself this morning to be worthy or unworthy of Jesus' kingdom? This morning, are you poor in spirit, like the Israelites, starving for something more than what you've been fed in your spiritual life? Blessed are you in this time. Do you feel persecuted, insulted? Or do you fear the future? We're in uncertain times here in America. Does that raise angst within you? Are you worried about what may come for you if you stand on the things of God and on the teachings of Jesus Christ? Blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom of God. As I close this sermon, I want to give a challenge, two challenges for us to remember as we ask the Spirit to lead us through these Beatitudes next week and into continuing the Sermon on the Mount. First is this. Do you know the Word of God? Is your ear tuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit? if he speaks to you? Or are you simply following the scribes and the teachers of the day today and their rules and convictions? You know, this can be evident in the church. This can be a spouse. This can be your family. You need your house built on the rock bed of Jesus Christ. Each of us. It takes a personal relationship with him. It is easy to keep the rules of men and completely be ignorant of the commands in the heart of God. I know that to be true in my own life. It is easy to keep rules of man and completely be ignorant to the heart of God. Are you a person who often sees yourself in the Pharisee camp? Is it easy for you to follow rules and just desire the blueprint to be clear, and I just got to do these things and then I can make it to heaven? This is the path. The Beatitudes and these red letters, so what I just read, do you know that those can also become like the law? That you can become, you can exalt these teachings like, blessed is the poor in spirit. Man, if I just was more poor in spirit, I would be more acceptable to God. If I was just more meek, if I was more humble. These aren't things that you need to, that you desire to become. I mean, they are things you desire to become. They are not, they're a description, not a prescription. Does that make sense? They are descriptive of a heart that is submitted to God. They're not a prescription of how to get to God. These Beatitudes are statements of grace, not of law. The Pharisees among us here this morning need to be challenged that the Beatitudes are a description of the heart and not a prescription, a better standing with God. Second is this, as a believer in Jesus Christ, there is an expectation for you that is laid out in Scripture and through this Sermon on the Mount in your attitudes, actions, in your mind. We just came through Easter, and I relate to this. I believe I don't necessarily fit in the Pharisee camp as easily. I'm more like a rule breaker, not a rule follower. So this is the point that is for me. We just came through Easter, and it is easy to raise your hands high and say, thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying and raising from the dead. Hallelujah. And then you leave, and you continue in the same patterns, the same evil, the same ungodly behavior. And you live your life in that same way, unchanged by what has happened in your life. This should not be true. The cheap grace person among us needs to be reminded that there is a high, high standard for you as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. So in these months ahead and into these teachings of Jesus, let's be ready to change. Let's be ready to hear these words of Jesus and build our houses on the rock of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, and these are Jesus' words, not mine, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your Spirit works among us. I thank you that you don't rely on me to bring understanding, but that your Holy Spirit can speak to each of us. We desire to follow you, Lord. We desire to be shaken. We desire to lay down the law and receive Jesus and understand that we cannot add anything to the law, Lord. We also desire to be challenged and to have our lives changed and shifted to where we have our people that reflect Jesus and don't just reflect the world and claim Jesus. Help us, Father. We need your Holy Spirit's work in each of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Once again, from your green hymnal, we're going to try again. Number 147. We tried this last week, and I was reassured by many, many people. They knew this song. We're going to try again, and if you know it, sing out. It is a different melody than you're used to. So if you're not familiar, it's a lovely, lovely tune, and I hope to hear you singing out as you need to get to know it for the first time. Number 147.
Oh,
All right, we have a lot of announcements this morning. We'll start with Dave.
I'm Dave Moomaw. I've been given permission to tell you a story. I've been known to tell stories. Most of them my own, from my own experiences. How many of you have seen a sign like this somewhere in someone's yard? Yeah, almost the entire congregation. I did too. And I read it and I thought, oh, what's the mission statement of our church? The mission statement of our church.
Knowing Christ and
making him known. Knowing Christ and making him known. And I thought, wow, this kind of does that. Maybe I'd better look into this a little bit farther, and maybe I better put one in my yard. I never ask anybody to do something that I am afraid to do myself, right? Or can't do, or whatever. So I began to check around, and I found out that the Weaver's Church was somehow getting these things. In reality, I got the first one from a neighbor that I had that I put in my yard. But I wanted one for the church, okay? So I asked the pastor of Weaver's Mennonite Church, and he said, oh, I'll tell you who it was. And he told me the story. But I want you to look before I tell you the story. We always do this, right? Look at this. Kind of rotated around. Grayson Yoder is my helper. He's a good guy there. Look at that. Okay, let's just look at the I am. Who is I am? God. What did Moses ask? He said, before he went to free the Israelites, he said, who shall I say has sent me? And God said, I am that I am. So it starts with God here. Remember this when I tell you the story. But at the same time, it's a quote of Jesus Christ, is it not? Can you guys see this over here? Yeah, we don't want to miss anybody. So it's a combination. And also, and it has Jesus' name down here. Also, it has where this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, right? That's the rest of the verse. But that's John 14:6. And of course, John 3:16 is well known. And if you watch football games at all, sometimes you see someone with a big sign saying John 3:16. Well, it makes you want to look it up, except that you already know what it says, right? Okay, and so as long as our Gideon guys keep handing out their Bibles while people can look this up. So this is the sign. And I wondered, what is the story behind this sign? I'm sort of an inquisitive person. Science people are supposed to be inquisitive, okay? So I called this pastor friend at Weaver's Mennonite Church. He said there is a man by the name of Wendell Metzler has this story to tell. So I called Wendell, and he came to our house, and we talked. Wendell is a carpenter. He lives in Broadway. But once a week, he does yard work. And he did yard work for a person in the community, and he found out that this person was an atheist. Obviously, he had talked to this person. This person died fairly recently, passed away. And lo and behold, Wendell discovered that he inherited a large amount of money. I won't tell you how much, but a large amount of money. So he says, ha, what should I do with this money that came from an atheist? He's a thinking man, right? And he thought, what better thing could I do than to have some way that Christ, God in the Bible, is sort of put out there, right? So he went to someone who helped him, the people who make these things, and they sort of devised this plan for this yard sign, whatever it's called. Think about what was just read about the Sermon on the Mount. There might be some people who aren't real happy with this sign. What did Christ say? If you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, what will be the result? I will be ashamed of you when you come before God the Father. So there may be some of you who say, no, I don't want this tic-tac stuff in my yard. But all right, let's think about it a little bit. I think it's worthwhile. I think it helps to, when I go by out in the road, I wasn't given a time limit, was I? When I go out and I see one of these signs up along the road, I think, there's a Christian lives there. And this Christian is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I think when I see that. Well, I tell you what. I would like to see every family in this church. I would like to see every family in this church take one of these home. I have a bunch of them in the vestibule, and when they're all, I have a bunch more in my car. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. If you've talked to me about an announcement, you can come forward, sit on the bench. Whoever gets here first can go first. Looks like that'll be Emmy.
Sorry about the mic. I'm going to try and not talk as long. So this is just a final notice for the Share the Joy project that I had mentioned a couple weeks ago. I have boxes in the back for donations. Again, that's new or gently used toys, stuffed animals, baby clothes, maternity stuff, diapers, just anything that you're willing to bring would be great. Thank you.
Skylar.
Morning. So I'm making an announcement for this Saturday. The Salt and Light Acoustic Gospel Group will be coming down from Ohio Rosedale Bible College to play for us. It'll be at 5:00, and there will be refreshments in the fellowship hall afterwards.
I don't know how many of you looked at the offering that was given last week, but when I looked at it, I'm like $11,300. Yes! You might ask why, because I am a support team member for Baker Rig. And that man, it's very easy to see that he's been called of God for that work. It is already paying dividends. The moment he stepped into that jail, it started producing fruit. We met Thursday night, or Thursday afternoon as a support team. And we did some praying after he shared what's going on there, gave some testimonies. And he said, we're going to spend about 10 minutes in prayer here. He said, I'm going to just put the timer on. He didn't know what to expect. Well, we blew by that thing just quickly. I have not experienced the power of God like that in a group of people. It was four ladies and four men, like I did that afternoon, because it is very obvious God is doing a work in that in the jail. But there's something else that I noticed. That is, you probably know Jason, I don't know his last name, but used to be, Wagner, is down at the prison in Augusta County, right? Well, where do these guys usually go after they, if they have to go to a prison? It's there. Jason's there. Well, there's another man by the name of Nathan. I don't know his, I just know these men by first names. But he is starting a ministry for prisoners that come out of these prisons that accept Jesus Christ to mentor them after they get out. Can you see God doing a work here? I'm just saying thank you for your generosity. You're to be commended, and you will not lose your reward. On behalf of this jail ministry, thank you.
That is wonderful. A lot of making him known opportunities here today. So one more for you. If you're too afraid to put a sign in your yard, I have a evangelical opportunity for you to be an evangelist. This Wednesday, so it's short notice. This is a last minute thing. I'm not sure if I'm even going to be there. I don't know what's happening yet, but here's what I do know. Blake and Belinda, Blake Cotita, called me and he said, I want to make sure Dayton is aware. We have the JMU festival grounds all day Wednesday. There's going to be worship there the whole day until 10 o'clock in the evening. And if the Holy Spirit is leading you, come out. We're just going to love on people, pray for them, just opportunities to worship on the JMU campus. And so I felt like I needed to share that this morning. And if you're anything like me, maybe you'll just dismiss it right away and be like, oh, that's not for me, you know? Or maybe your heart's pounding because it's like, oh, it's an opportunity and Mike's asking me. And I want that to be off the table. This is between you and the Holy Spirit. One of the things Micah said this morning is, can you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? One of the foundational principles for the youth is doing the uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. And let me tell you, if you need hope in your life, there's no better way than to talk to others about the hope they can have. And if you want encouragement in your life, there's no better way to feel encouraged than to encourage someone else. If you want more Jesus in your life, there's not much of a better way than to go tell other people how much they need Jesus. So I want this to be between you and the Father. The only thing I'm asking is that you go home and pray about it. You can park at Costco or the Arboretum if you go in the afternoon and walk over to the festival grounds. If you Google the JMU festival grounds, you'll see where we're talking about. If you go after 5, you can park there at JMU for the evening. And even if you're just there to pray, just to worship, obey the voice of the Spirit. If he's calling you there, go. That's all I'm asking.
All right. A lot of opportunities. God's working. Want to remember our prayer meeting, men's prayer meeting at 6:30. We start at 6:30, goes to 7:30. I wasn't able to come for a while because I had to be at work at 7. But the time that I had to be at work changed to 7:30. But I still haven't been to the end of one of these. I don't know how they end. You can come late, you can leave early, but you'll be blessed if you come. Next Sunday, we have a fellowship meal here. So remember to bring food, enough to share with visitors. Next week is the deadline for softball signups, and Josh is getting ready, trying to get a practice lined up. So if you have signed up, he will text you about a time and place for that. I think that is all I have. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for the work you've done. Thank you for your word. Sermon on the Mount, pray that we would be hearers and doers of what we hear. Pray that we will be changed by what we hear. Pray that we can change the world around us through your words. Guide us as we go out. Pray that people could see that we're your children. We don't live for ourselves. Help us to honor you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Before we're dismissed, did Micah's sermon remind you of a song? The wise man built his house on the rock. Let's sing that and think about the words. It's easy to sing children's songs and they're just words, but they're based in scripture, have a lot of meaning. And you can do the motions too.
The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm.
Down as the prayers go up, the blessings open down.